Rishi Monte, welcome to Validated.
Excited to be here. Thanks for having me, Austin. Been watching these for a while.
Awesome. Well, we're going to talk a bunch today about blockchains, programming languages, Move, but sort of to give a little bit of a scene set. For years, the smart contract language to program in was Solidity. This was the primary language that people programmed in on Ethereum, even though there were sort of a few other options available if you looked hard enough. It seems like many new blockchains that have launched since Ethereum have tried to innovate in part on the language, and that sometimes by creating an entirely new programming language and new framework, that sometimes doing like what Solana does and, you know, adopt C and Rust as two major programming languages and then build custom abstraction layers on top of that, like Anchor is. But there's also been a lot of attention recently to the language of Move. And Move was not specifically developed for blockchains or for smart contracts initially, but it was pioneered partially at Facebook and partially associated with the Libra project, which became the Diem project, which became canceled, unfortunately. But you hear from Movement Labs, you guys are a big fan of Move. So I want to talk a little bit about what you guys do, what's interesting about Move, and sort of where the reality of Move and maybe the hype of Move either match up or don't match up from the developer standpoint. So let's get into it.
I kick off the origin story. So I've been coding since I was 14 from Bridgewater, New Jersey, which is like my hometown. So always tinkering around with like Rust-based programming languages. I think I first started like stumbling across Rust for like gaming purposes back in like World of Warcraft days. And then when I kind of got to crypto, I was really intrigued by obviously started off Solidity. Everyone started off coding Ethereum, dApps and Ethereum mainnet exploration. But the main struggle that I faced is that it's very difficult to code Solidity and more importantly, difficult to code secure code. It took me hours, and I'm not even the best programmer. I would say like a mid-tier, I would say, like C-tier. It took me hours and days to like debug and to make sure like each line there was no registry, there was no integer overflows. I was spending more time auditing my code than I was spending developing my code, which was at the time, like as like a college kid, it was very difficult and a hindrance to me because I couldn't develop this consumer app that I wanted to like scale from 0 to 1 if I was worrying about smart contract functionality. And ultimately, we're all in crypto, not for like the stablecoin and DeFi use cases, but we want to be an infrastructure that powers billions of users. So we want the gaming, the consumer, really the retail-focused apps. So I think that was the first thing that kind of struck out to me is I was spending more time on smart contract security than I was on an actual interface from an app and acquiring customers from an app, which in Web2 doesn't exist. Zuckerberg was able to build Facebook from his dorm room. He wasn't worrying about if Facebook got hacked. He was more worried about getting his app across Harvard, right? So that was the first kind of major, like, okay, this needs to change.
Sure. There's also just a lower risk too, right? Yep. Because if you have a Web2 social app that has, you know, 10,000 users and it gets hacked, the worst that happens is probably a bunch of people's pictures get changed. But in blockchain, everything is financial. And also, there is no off button. Like, once you deploy a contract, it is deployed and good luck.
Yeah, I think because also reputation-based, right? Like, if Facebook got hacked in Zuckerberg days, they'd be like, okay, like, you just lost, like, 3 pictures. Like, when Stars Arena got hacked, that was, like, a 2-day project that went viral over a day. They got hacked in a week and lost all their consumers, and now it's basically dead.
Yeah.
So financial security is very important because if you get hacked, you basically lose all credibility you have and lose all your customer base overnight, which is not a Web2 concept.
Yeah. So, fast forward a little bit to, like, where did you first learn about Move? What sort of caught your eye as this being a language that was more in keeping with what you were looking for?
Yeah, I think I saw a Twitter thread, like, I was like 2 years back about the Diem project and then hearing it expanded. Because I was like, Facebook, the biggest consumer app in the world, like the biggest social network in the world, looked at blockchains and it was like the EVM is god awful. And then spent $1 billion in research to bring the Move language. So seeing the article kind of got me looking into the Move programming language, hearing about Aptos's launch, I would say August of 2022, so pre-FTX, was really looking at, okay, this is a really interesting framework, interesting language. Spent a lot of time looking at the Move Prover and Wolfgang, who's kind of the head of Move over there at Aptos Labs, putting a lot of research on the Move Prover and formal verification. And to me, that was very interesting, right? Like, this was the first time where I felt I can deploy smart contracts and not worry about security, instead worry about the actual use case of the smart contract. So I was actually engineering AppDust early on. I was one of the first 10, 15 builders in the space. I was contributing to the first DEX lake system. My co-founder built the first yield aggregator. So we were two of the earliest grassroots builders in the moving system. And yeah, I think from there, we were really looking to expand the move reach to other ecosystems, which I'll get more into.
Yeah, so I want to go back a little bit to that move origin, because a bunch of the code that was part of the Libra and Diem ecosystem, and I worked a little bit on that stuff at Bison Trails when I was there, because we were, Aaron Henshaw, the co-founder and CTO there, was part of the technical steering committee behind Libra and Diem. But we got to a place with this where, you know, the project was shutting down, but the code was all open source. And so there were sort of two teams that I believe kind of started working together initially and then split off from them. And so you actually have, you know, Aptos, which my understanding is they took a lot of the existing Libra code and they built it into the Aptos network today in the SUI network that didn't necessarily start on the same code base, but started from a lot of the same, you know, ideological underpinnings. And they both have Move as the VM language they use, but there's some pretty interesting differences between both of those Move implementations. So do we sort of have two versions of Move at this point, or are they still pretty similar from a developer perspective, even if under the hood, the VMs work pretty different?
Yeah, I would say the languages are completely different. Aptos Move is like DM project, essentially, staying in line with the DM principles. Like, for example, the Move Prover is built into the VM, which was kind of a core principle of the DM project, while SUI Move is more correlated to the consensus mechanisms. So I would say SUI Move is tied to like the DAG-based consensus and improvements they were made over there. Aptos was focused more on the direct VM itself, and now they're doing consensus improvements. So I would say they're completely different kind of frameworks. I would even argue it's like similar to like JavaScript, where you have like React, Vue, Angular, still frameworks of JavaScript. So if you're a React developer, you know, Vue kind of like it takes like probably a week to learn it. Right. Same thing with Aptos Move and SUI Move. They're still versions of Rust. So if you know Aptos Move, you probably know SUI Move, but they are different frameworks fundamentally.
The way we originally met and got connected was around this sort of vision for Movement Labs, which is trying to propagate Move to multiple blockchains. And part of the way that Solana is built is that things actually, you know, you're not running a Rust native program. You're not running a C native program. These things all compile down, and without getting, you know, too technical at the end, a lot of it's just LLVM. And so that means you can build a front end for pretty much any programming language out there. And so as Move was starting to get some attention, you know, there was a project at Solana Labs to work at looking at bringing Move support. And then you guys reached out about also getting involved with bringing Move to Solana. So I want to talk a little bit about that work, but sort of as a starter, what sort of inspired you and your co-founder to say, you know, look, the impact we want to make in the blockchain space is not necessarily building apps ourselves, but building Move across a broader ecosystem?
I think it comes down to the use case, right? Like building the first DEX and AppDust pre-FTX and eventually post-FTX, there was two assets on the DEX. It was APT and like Testnet Tala,
yeah.
Which made the DEX not that attractive, especially when the crash happened. So we kind of took a step back and was like, okay, we believe in Move as a thesis, like formal verification, security, parallelization, great stuff, but wanted to bring it to adoption and bring it to Web3 native today. So the ultimate solution was M2, the first Move layer 2 on Ethereum. Mm-hmm. So think of all the benefits of Aptos and SUI fully living on Ethereum security as a layer 2. So that same DEX that had two assets and a cold start problem on top of Aptos now can deploy on top of M2. You have native ETH directly. The ETH system, we're fully IBC enabled. So you have Tia, Atom. You actually have USDC off the bat from Noble, as well as you have full EVM assets. So we actually have EVM runtime that lives on top of the Moveverse machine. So any EVM code can run right now, which provides like backwards compatibility and legacy code support, similar to what you guys are doing with Neon and Soling. That's kind of the approach that we're rolling out in-house for the Moveverse machine.
Nice. And so how has that sort of process been of going to a bunch of EVM devs building on Ethereum and saying, hey, there's actually like, you can still build on Ethereum, but you actually now are using Move. Like, because I know there's a lot of Solidity allegiance in the EVM world.
Yeah, I think this is a cold start problem, right? If you have like an app that's like, what, 10 million TVL, it's all in Solidity smart contracts, the kind of the friction to get, I'm sure you guys have experienced that too, the friction to convert to Rust-based code bases is very difficult. A, because Rust engineers are really, really expensive. And B, it's just like you have to completely scrap all the work you've done and rewrite new code bases. Which for projects in the bear was very difficult. Now that market's kind of warming up, and especially the parallelized EVM trend is to market, and people are saying like the benefits of parallelization are really cool. So like Monad say these groups are really propagating the benefits of like localized fee markets and parallelization for the EVM. We're talking a lot of order books and DeFi projects and gaming projects that have now converted to riding Solidity on top of our move base because you have all benefits of parallelization. You live on Ethereum for security. So for them, it, like the pitch 6 months ago probably didn't make sense, but now it does.
So walk me through a little bit of how that works, because one of the challenges with parallelizing EVM has always been that ETH transactions are not deterministic in terms of all the state. Like you can't actually simulate an Ethereum transaction and know for certainty this is all the state it's going to touch. So when you're dealing with a, you know, an interpolation layer to then get that down to move, like, you know, is there an overhead there for it guessing wrong sometimes, or how does that system actually work?
So we still retain the same DM rich machine. So you have the block STM pattern built into the VM. So it's still optimistic parallelization from the Aptos project.
Okay.
What we built on top of the move VM is essentially an interpreter that's eventually be converted to a transpiler. I'm not going to get the technical differences, but basically you have opcode compatibility for Solidity to move. So if you write Solidity smart contracts, it's like 142 opcodes, I believe. You map that to the 54 opcodes and invoke functions of move VM. So the end state is essentially the same parallel processing that you see in Aptos. It's just that you have the Solidity opcodes mapped on top.
Yeah, this is basically what Android did with Oracle and got into a, in that case, many years lawsuit. And in this case, probably no lawsuit since it's all open source.
Because open source. Hopefully no lawsuit.
Yes.
Ethereum Foundation.
But yeah, so that's like an interesting structure that you guys are kind of going with there. Do you see that as kind of the main way you expect a move to get adopted is through, you know, transposing and compiling from Solidity as a runtime and then using move on the runtime? Or are you guys more focused on actually getting more developers natively building in move?
I think for us, the EVM compatibility is just a short-term fix. The long-term and 3 to 4 year bet is move adoption. We believe that Facebook, the language built by Facebook, now guided by both Aptos and Sui, over the next 3 to 4 years is going to thrive, A, for financial reasons, and B, just in terms of technological reasons. But to face it, most of the developers, and if not like the 90% developers, are still Solidity developers today. And the issue with next-gen tech stacks is lack of legacy code adoption. So just because you have a PS5, if you don't have any games that work for the PS4, it makes it difficult for users to actually use a PS5. So that's why we are looking at, like, we believe the developer is going to switch next-gen languages and frameworks, but you still need to have EVM compatibility for existing legacy code. Otherwise, you're going to have a hard time bootstrapping network. And then once you have network, once you have TVL, liquidity, and you have the snowball effect where you can attract more users, that's when you can, like, usher in new developers for move. But we're still, quite frankly, early from that, still early stages. You guys saw the early stages of Solana. It's very difficult to get people to write Solana VM code. And we're just getting started.
Yeah, I mean, the thing Solana had to do in the early days was be 1,000 times faster than the EVM, because no one would sort of give the language and give the VM style and the VM differences any look unless you could say, look, you're going to get 1,000 to 10,000x performance increase by doing this. It fundamentally changes what you can build. So if you're sort of in that situation where you've got a developer that, you know, maybe they're building in Solidity now, maybe they're building in Rust, maybe they're, you know, something like that even, what is that sort of value proposition to say, hey, move is worth your time learning and switching over to?
I would say addition to the parallelization and speed pitch, I think similar to like Solana thesis, I think the security is a paramount thing. Security comes out of the box with move. You have move approval and form verification built into the VM. So when I was coding Solidity and even coding Rust back in the day, if I was able to use move, I'd probably reduce my developer time by like 1/3 to like 1/4.
Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit about what, like where actually you're seeing move get more security. Cause yeah, the EVM is formal verification. Yep. Provers exist on other networks too. So like, I just want to get a little more granular when you're talking about like, because this is the thing you hear a lot, yep, is, oh, Move has great security. What does that actually mean when you're coding?
Yep. So within the VM itself, you have a bytecode interpreter and bytecode verifier. So when you execute a smart contract, the Move prover essentially looks at each line and says, hey, is there a registry bug? Is there a digital overflow? Mm. Did you mess up somewhere? So you actually have the auditing-like effect that auditors do like after correction in real time. So every time you execute a smart contract, it checks for these resource type of memory safety.
Yeah.
When you actually look at a history of attacks, it's not off the first deployment. So if you look at the Kyber attack, yeah, it was actually like the 50th push or the 54th push made by a random developer that they forgot to check one line, and that costed Kyber the entirety of their portfolio, right? I've seen it in the Curve attack. It's usually a small error that I think for Kyber it was 0.0001% probability that anyone could pick it up, that no human or auditor can pick up usually by hand. I think like 92% of EVM protocols are at risk of being hacked. Move fixes that by running each code and running formal verification at runtime. So essentially you have auditor working for you in real time instead of waiting to do it after, which is usually the downfall for these EVM projects.
So if it, for example, if you're a developer and you're deploying something and there's a, you know, there's an error in it, what happens? Does the program deploy fail? Does the program just refuse to execute on mainnet now? Like, what does that failure state look like?
It'll toss a compiler flag and be like, you messed up like this line.
Oh, it's in the compiler stage, not I thought you meant like in the VM stage when it was deployed.
So this like multiple errors. They have compiler flags that you can add on. I think even like Arbitrum does this with EVM++. There's also VM errors that can flag. So you can have errors in multiple stages. And we're also working on throwing more compiler flags so you can get picked up earlier. Because I think like right now it's like 90% more secure than EVM. And now like adding more compiler detection actually brings that up to higher percentages.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about this stuff, especially in the context of, you know, AI, both auditing and attacking of code bases now. I do think there's a little bit of a reckoning for the open source community on how do we actually start responding to this sort of stuff when, you know, as you're saying, like, it might be very hard for a human to catch one of these bugs, but suddenly if you have AI systems going at them, maybe we're 50% more likely to find one of those bugs within a one-year timeline or something.
Yep. But I think like with AI, the issue is that you need to have enough trained data. So I think we're very early for that. Like I've played around with a few AI formal verification systems and usually they completely miss because you don't have like you don't have 8,000 different curves, 8,000 different Kybers. You have like five good ones that are live on mainnet. So the training data isn't enough yet. In a world where you have a billion users on chain and you have like a billion financial applications, that makes sense. But I don't think AI is there already. I think you need formal verification provers.
Yeah. Yeah, formal verification has been kind of an interesting component. It is hard to keep an evolving system formally verified. Yep. And so, like, with the divergence you're talking about between the Aptos flavor of Move and the Sui flavor of Move, like, do you have a sense of how they're actually doing that sort of concurrent verification work as they sort of start to diverge from, like, a core product?
I don't want to speak for both teams of thesis, but from my understanding and conversation with the teams, Aptos is focused on the VM style, which is the Move prover, which Wolfgang kind of spearheads over there. I believe Sui's targeting from a consensus mechanism, trying to embed security. I know they have a pretty stacked ZK team, so looking to like ZK logging and a few ZK cryptography initiatives. But I believe they're targeting through consensus and not from the VM level. But I could be wrong from Sui's style. I'm more familiar with Aptos' thesis.
Yeah. So, you know, when you're looking at sort of like we talked about the move L2 on Ethereum or maybe on something like deploy on Celestia in the future, are you guys primarily working with the Aptos flavor then?
Yep, we're primarily working with the Aptos flavor just because the VM itself is designed to be modular, while Sui Move's VM is designed for its consensus mechanism. We support both styles of Move because we have RPC translation layer on top of the Move VM. Because the bytecode for both Aptos and Sui Move are still the same. So it's like JavaScript bytecode is the same for React and Vue. Just like how you translate the RPC code. With that, the trade-off is like the benefit of Sui Move is the way it interacts with consensus. We don't retain that for obvious reasons because we don't have Sui's consensus. It's more about providing compatibility to Sui Move projects. But Sui is definitely the best place to write Sui Move because of its correlation to consensus mechanism.
Yeah, because Sui's got two different consensus mechanisms that a transaction can go through. So there's a lot more to account for there.
Yep. It's very difficult.
Yes. So when you guys were looking at something like move support on Solana, what initially attracted you, your attention there to say like, oh, this is actually something worth doing, as opposed to looking at bringing, you know, move support to Avalanche or some other network?
I think for us, first of all, I'm a Solana bull. Like, I use Solana every day. I send Solana to my mom via USDC a lot. So I'm a diehard Solana maxi, if that works. The second thing is, our thesis is move everywhere with movement. That's kind of like even in our backgrounds. We envision a world where the move framework and move thesis is embedded into every blockchain through one shape or form, whether that's the move prover existing in current systems like Avalanche, Solana, whatever, or people who are selling move smart contracts. So obviously with the LLVM implementation, you wouldn't get the move prover. But what was interesting is we could essentially bring the move programming language to Ethereum because it is LLVM. You can have multiple programming language. And I saw that you guys were already doing it. I checked out the LLVM branch. I talked to a few of the engineers, and it seemed like it was a product you guys have been working on for quite some time. Obviously, it's very difficult, and you guys are propagating the SVM, and your thesis is making SVM as strong as possible and Anchor as strong as possible. But given like our experience with Move compilers and kind of the leading voice like modules or Move, or like Move outside of existing environments, I think that's what attracted us, and something that we're working on right now with the Solana team is bringing the Move language to Solana would unlock a lot of different benefits for them. Developers, A, by having like existing Move developers who are cross-chain, and B, you'll actually have like some of the Move security inherited, because a lot of the Move security comes from the Move contract itself. You have like better account models, you have resource security, you can have custom defined modules. So if you're building a gaming app, you can define a module designed for a specific, let's say, gun or player, and have customizations on the module. And then from there, you can kind of experiment with security advantages.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting when you think about like the idea that a programming language can sort of be the main characteristic of a blockchain, which is sort of interesting because if you know, this was sort of the thing that I think a lot of people were talking about Sui and Aptos in the beginning, is like, oh, their main advantage is that they have Move. And it's kind of interesting to sort of be like, for you, and you're not quite saying this, but Move is not actually a moat, and that a lot of networks can benefit from the same characteristics that Sui and Aptos have just sort of had a first mover on.
Yep.
No pun intended.
Yeah. Ethereum's first mover advantage was literally in the EVM compared to Bitcoin, right? But after like these other VMs came up, the moat wasn't that slowly at all. In fact, it was becoming a weakness. The moat was the fact that you had the most TVL and most security on chain. So same thing with Aptos and Sui. Move was the first thing that got people excited. But now like Sui's focused on ZK and cryptography. Aptos is focused on formal verification, more consensus mechanism research. So Move is actually not a moat anymore. In fact, we've proven that it can be brought to other ecosystems. And now it's a framework that's like open source and anyone can adopt. And Polkadot, I think it's a Move Polkadot palette now.
Oh, cool.
So we're seeing it actually adopted as Move module and Cosmos as well. So it's interesting to see Move pop up in other ecosystems as well.
Yeah. So in terms of, most languages have some form of trade-off in terms of performance optimizations versus usually how easy it is to write in it, right? Like the classic version here is, well, Rust is not necessarily the easiest language to write in. It's a lot easier than C, but it is faster if you write stuff natively in C. Where does Move kind of fall on the spectrum?
So we've been doing a lot of outreach in university and developer groups, and it seems like Move has been the easiest language to pick up out of traditional Rust and traditional Solidity, just because it's very object-oriented. There's less opcodes you need to worry about. I think it's like 54 opcodes in Move. And this amount of time it takes to write code, there's some diagram somewhere that says to write like account checks for Move, it's like this much. For any other like code base, it's like a page. And slowly, it's like three pages. So if you're like a university dev, you're like 24, you don't really know how to code, Move is probably the easiest language to pick up because you don't have to write 30 pages of account checks. It's probably done for you. And you can focus more on the product, distribution of the product.
Right. And then in terms of like the actual code performance, right? I think that's kind of where Anchor on Solana sort of has a little bit of this problem where it's much easier to write in. It's not a language, it's a framework. But the framework of Anchor is quite easy to write in. You do take a performance hit writing in Anchor versus Rust, and then you take a performance hit writing in Rust versus C, and then you take a performance hit writing in C versus Solana Native for your program. Yep. So, This is also like the Swift versus C on the iPhone kind of perpetual debate. So like in that stack, is Move performance about you know, par with Rust? Is that sort of what you'd say?
So my general thesis, taking a step back, is if you look at Web 2, you had JavaScript, and you had like obviously HTML, CSS below that. You had JavaScript above that, and you had React, Vue, and Angular on top of that. So you see the same performance kind of trade-offs. Obviously, if you just like hard-coded everything HTML, CSS, and C, like the compiling times would be quicker, but how are you going to do that? And it's like very difficult for normal developers to do that. That's why React, Vue, and Angular got adopted as the three main frameworks to build websites. Technically, it's slower, but the developers, users don't see any trade-off, and the biggest websites today are written in that.
Right.
Same thing with blockchains. I believe the three frameworks that have risen is Aptos, Move, Swemove, and SVM. They can all coexist, all have their own benefits, trade-offs, whatever. Users, developers choose what they want. There is performance trade-offs in terms of speed. I don't think it's noticeable to the point, like Anchor, I mean, it's very minute, to the point where it's a trade-off. I would say if you're a developer, Anchor, Swemove, and Aptos Move is still the best way to write Rust-based contracts, even though like you're sacrificing a little bit. The trade-offs in terms of go-to-market, user experience, security is far worth like the 0.01 millisecond difference or whatever.
Yeah. I think that's fair on the user level, right? Because I think that is kind of one difference here is like most people who are building stuff in Move, they're not necessarily building groundbreaking, you know, frameworks that are going to become the basis of the next generation of DeFi. They're building DeFi primitives or they're building DeFi applications, but you know, it's one level sort of higher up in the stack, for lack of a better term.
Yep.
So, you know, I think when you sort of look across the blockchain space from like an education perspective, there's a ton of work that's been done on sort of developer education over the years. I'm sure you guys are doing your own when it comes to Move. You know, do you have any sort of sense of like what works well and what doesn't? Because I think there's almost this like paradox people get into where, you know, Near had one of the best sort of developer education systems out there, but they almost made it too easy. And then, you know, the types of developers that they attracted, maybe, you know, a lot of them weren't as strong as, you know, some of the developers that had to chew glass on Solidity or Solana to like get to that place. So how do you sort of think about that balance when it comes to onboarding new developers?
I think this is what Solana did maybe the best out of anyone, is kind of preventing mercenary developers and prioritizing in-house organic developers. So that starts off with like not throwing a grant at every developer that's interested and be like, build this. And then when they run out of money, they didn't go to the next chain. It starts with like how you're funding developers and how you're giving developers economic incentives. Because ultimately, the goal of a developer is to make a career on a platform. If a developer can't have a career on a platform, they're going to keep jumping ship to whoever the hottest person on the block is. Solana did that even through the bear markets, through the hackathons, and keeping the developer community as tight-knit as possible and prioritizing the projects, giving them the funding, giving them ecosystem traction. So you're able to retain developers that way because there's a loyalty to the chain and actually a business model built in where these developers actually have money. They're able to feed their families by building on top of Solana or the next-gen chain. Other developers and other ecosystems have kind of seen the issues where they'll throw grant money, forget about the project, 6 months later, the project's on the next chain. So something that we're focused on, and I think the Move ecosystem generally is focused on, is A, prioritizing developers that have long-term growth, contributing open source contributions that are more than just like a simple DEX fork on top of native chain. Infrastructure, I think what Swee's focused on is a lot of ZK cryptography work. Aptos is focused on a lot of like consumer partnerships. So both these ecosystems are kind of prioritizing their own use cases. For us, we kind of have the benefit of inheriting that instead of focus on distribution. So I would say just generally, having a tight-knit consumer base, hosting hackathons in person, and kind of prioritizing the degen developer community is the best way that you retain developers, making sure they have partnerships, have friends, have a current tight-knit community system. That's how you retain them.
Yeah. So what is the Move sort of developer community look like now? Are there sort of pockets in the world or certain types of applications that folks are primarily building on Move now?
Yeah, I think according to Extra Capital, Aptos is the fastest growing non-EVM. Obviously, given the fact that I just launched, that's how the percentage is calculated. but like if you just launched
the first year percentages are always a little funny.
Yeah. But we've seen a great uptick, especially like launching post FTX. You kind of expected nothing to be there. I think the count is like their number, move is number 8 in developer count or number 9, something like that, which for a first year of ecosystem is pretty vibrant. We're seeing a lot of growth in Southeast Asia, Korea, Taiwan. Korea especially is big. Aptos has a big kind of flag there with SK Planet, Hash, and a few other groups. So we're seeing a lot of developer communities come from Asia to start with. And now the kind of focus, or at least our focus, is North America, Europe adoption, where Core Ethereum and kind of Cosmos folks are. Yeah. So yeah, this general move adoption, I'd say, is Asia-based, but our thesis is trying to bring it towards retail.
Nice. That's interesting. So for Movement Labs itself, like, talk to me a little bit about how the org is structured. Like, are you guys primarily grant funded from different blockchains? Like, what's the sort of long-term vision of that corporate entity?
We've raised funding from private investors through private rounds. So that's how we're growing our team. I think the team's like 17 deep right now. Tarab, actually, head of VDA, was the head of ecosystem Marinade. So we have Solana ties and love Solana and try to like embody our hacker developer community and learning from what Solana did, given the fact that it's probably the most exciting ecosystem right now and you guys have crushed it in every shape or form. So yeah, I think we're privately funded and now going to raise more future rounds and push product towards test and mainnet.
Yeah, so walk me through a little bit of like what that sort of investable vision is. I think it's very easy to look at what you guys are doing and saying like, yeah, this is a great public good. You're bringing a new programming language to a ton of blockchains, but you know, investors obviously don't usually invest in public goods.
Yeah. Well, the main value prop is layer 2 on Ethereum. It works and functions like any other layer 2. Something like Arbitrum Optimism. I think what we see in 2023 is all these like different DA layers rise up. So you have like Celestia, Eigen, Avail. I think 2024 is proven to be the year of the next-gen VMs, where you have Solana VM obviously kicking up. A lot of people using next-gen VMs there. Move has been crushing in the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. So we've seen a lot of people, especially in Ethereum and Cosmos communities, embrace alt VMs and next-gen VMs.
Yeah.
Because they learned that they could keep the existing security and community of Ethereum, but still use an next-gen virtual machine. So that kind of combination has enabled us to, A, attract interest from investors and raise private funding, and be kind of label ourselves as leaders as like the modern move category.
So in that world where we're now basically talking about, you know, the ability to program on multiple languages and support new VMs, what is Ethereum doing in that stack at that point? When you're now programming in a different language, it's executing in a different VM, it's settling to a different DA layer like Eigen or Celestia, which is not actually technically Ethereum, especially with Celestia's case. So, like, walk me through, like, the Ethereum, quote-unquote, alignment thesis when we're talking about new VMs and new DA layers.
So the value prop is that Ethereum is the best settlement layer today, given the fact that it's been battle-tested, has TVL, ETH uses stable money, in as many people argue. So Ethereum would be settlement in this case, where any transaction or any infrastructure application leverages Ethereum security, decentralization, and network effects to bootstrap liquidity. So if you go back to the DEX example, or like a Yield Dagger example that my co-founder built, on new L1, there was pretty much no liquidity at the time. I think it was like 30 million when we were at peak when we were launching. That same DEX and Yield Dagger can now deploy on top of M2, which is our L2 product, have native ETH directly, which has some assets and has actually liquidity to the products. If you're a liquid fund or family office, if you want to use the layer 2, you can just simply deploy the ETH. You don't need to buy APT or SUI, which is obviously a volatile asset and prevents retail capital from coming in. So our value prop is if you're a whale, if you're an ETH whale, or even if you're a retail user, you can use Move apps by using like staking ETH, leveraging ETH, not having swapped a native asset, and have all the benefits of Move security and formal verification into the VM.
Yeah, I guess I'm just curious because the classic version of how you solve this was just you build a bridge from Ethereum to Aptos and people can use their Ethereum then on Aptos or Sui or Solana directly. But that never quite caught on in the same way.
Yep.
And I wonder how much of that's like bridge reputation versus, because like the L2 bridge is still a bridge, right? Bridging to an L2 is still a bridge. And like the UX is, if anyone who tried to get ETH Denver tickets for free this year, the UX still needs some work.
I would say that there's two main things here. A, security. We've heard and seen all the horrible hacks that have happened that have led to that. And then B, the kind of user experience. Like, if you look on Aptos right now, there's like three different USDCs. There's like Wormhole USDC, Axel USDC, Layer 0 USDC, and then same for like USDT. And then like, it just like the user experience when you have five different USDCs probably like turns off most people.
Sure.
Same with ETH, if you have like five different wrapped ETHs. With us, with like a layer two, you have native bridging essentially because it's a trust minimized bridge living on top of Ethereum and the Valor set there. So you don't have to worry about that. You can just bridge from Sepolio.
I will say trust minimized and fraud proofs are not the same thing. But yes, there is a closer system at least. I'll give you that.
Yep, exactly.
So what do you see as like the next evolution of Move? We have these sort of two flavors of Move like kicking off. Like, do you think they're going to keep diverging? And what can people who are excited about Move kind of look forward to over the course of 2024?
I think they will keep diverging just because the nature of the two ecosystems. That's an unfortunate truth and something we're working on.
Yeah.
From a cultural point of view and technological point of view, uniting the tribes has been difficult to prove, to say the least, but we're doing our best. And then kind of in terms of the next steps to Move, something that we're doing a lot of research into the ZK Move. We saw the EVM to ZK EVM trend. I would argue that ZK EVM wasn't that much performant than the EVM that we saw. So we are actively looking at the ZK Move thing. The issue is that proving cost today for any zero knowledge provers is way too high. I think our benchmarks are like 4 to 5 cents for a current risk implementation, which makes the transaction fee pretty difficult. So we're currently in the process of hiring ZK circuit writers and exploring our own ZK Move VM and trying to get a proving cost as low as possible, ideally less than a fraction of a cent, which then it makes sense to use it. And then you have all the benefits of security, validity proofs, and even privacy ultimately. But that's still very theoretical, still very down the line. I think the main push is just getting adoption for Move. Move, we believe, is a tangible improvement for current implementations. And now it's about getting into retail markets, specifically getting new developers to use it. Given the fact that Facebook is a Web2 product, like kind of ecosystem, since we both have Web2 ties and backgrounds, the thesis isn't to get Solana developers to migrate to Move or Polkadot developers to migrate to Move. The thesis is to get JavaScript developers and retail developers from Facebook or consumer app ecosystems to use Move. So I wouldn't say it's predatory to current Web2 ecosystems. We're not all trying to exchange the five developers who are grant chasing. We're all trying to tap into the millions of developers that are trying to look into Move, look into Web3, but never thought to do so. And our thesis is if you're developing Web2, you probably feel comfortable writing the language that Facebook built. And now it's about distributing that.
Nice. Well, Rishi, if people want to learn more about Move, to get started programming on it, or keep up to date with what you guys are doing at Movement Labs, where do you recommend they go?
I would first read the Move book. That was written by the early DM projects. Kind of goes into every semantic. There's a bunch of YouTube videos. And I think AppSense, we both have done a good job of it. In-depth documentation, hackathons. Sweet hackathons are some of the most fun. Second to maybe Solana, maybe. I've loved the Solana hackathons and hacker groups. And then for Movement Labs, at Movement Labs XYZ on Twitter, you can follow me, Rishi Manche, on Twitter, and the ship poster and technical memer. So you can follow my content, as well as we have YouTube videos, a bunch of podcasts like this that kind of explain the thesis, how to get started, and join the Discord.
Love it. Well, thanks for joining us today on Validated.
Thanks for the time, Austin. Really appreciate it. It was a blast.
Validated is produced by Ray Belli with help from Ross Cohen, Brandon Ector, Amira Valiani, and Ainsley Medford. Engineering by Tyler Morissette.